Amen. What a great song that is. And what a privilege to be here tonight. And at this time, you can take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, just a few verses here that I'd like us to look at tonight. Certainly is a great privilege to be able to be here at church tonight, period. But then I thank God for the opportunity to be able to open up the Word of God and be able to preach tonight. That's always a tremendous privilege, and definitely a little different too than, you know, a number of different times in Kenya, preaching three times in one day, or, you know, it takes a lot of work. It gives you a lot of appreciation for a pastor who's been faithfully preaching for over 40 years and preparing three sermons, or four, often four or five, you know, depending on other events going on in the week. Every week. And so certainly thank God, though, for our pastor, and certainly praying for God to do a great work there on that teen camp out. I think back often to those days, and great fond memories of that, but so thankful. You know, as I look back, I just think, wow, what a pastor and his wife that have just poured themselves into the next generation of this church. I remember thinking back over the years, or as I think back over the years, it kind of hits me in a new way now as a parent of five kids. I just think, wow, what a blessing to have a pastor that just pours his life into that next generation. We've been to a lot of different churches in our travels, and I've just noticed, you know, a lot of churches have a great pastor, and that pastor gets older and older, and you can kind of see the congregation gets older and older. And I often wonder, where is the next pastor going to come from in this congregation or for this church? And certainly God can provide that. But I love what God is doing here. And it's a result. You know, I know pastor would want God to get all the glory. And that is the way it ought to be. We certainly give God all the glory. But I just thank God for a pastor who has had a vision, an obvious vision to invest in the next generation. And as we all know, there's no shortage of preachers in this congregation. And so what a blessing that is, as I look at other churches and just think, oh, you know, what's going to happen? Is this church going to die after this the current pastor passes away or moves on or retires, or what's going to happen? And so certainly thank God for his goodness here at Maquonago Baptist Church. And just as we prepare to go back to Kenya in a few weeks, Lord willing, there's just a lot of big thoughts that go through your mind, you know, because it's just, if you've ever moved across the ocean, I know some of you have, maybe moved here from other countries, or you've gone overseas for periods of times and experienced life over there. It's exciting. There's just kind of a mixture of feelings. You know you're going to really miss everyone and everything here that is such a treasure of a church at Maquonago Baptist. But also just so excited to be able to see the Lord work in our lives in so many ways, and especially through little Kayla, through her physical body and needs, but also just in our lives in some very important ways. And so I just want to thank each one of you for the prayers that you have just faithfully poured out on Kayla's behalf and all of us. And just, I often think of other people going through trials that don't have such an amazing church family partnering with them in prayer. And that is such an encouragement. I know many of you have been through different challenges in life, and you've seen the church pull together to pray and see the Lord work. And so what a blessing that is, and what a privilege to be able to be a part of a church like this. I certainly count it a great, great privilege and great gift from God. So tonight, Hebrews chapter 11, I know we all are very familiar with this chapter. We hear a lot. We read it in our personal reading. It's often referenced in preaching. But the Lord really laid on my heart a particular message from a few verses here. I'd like us to start in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And we'll just read down through verse 14. And so if you'd follow along with me as we read here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Imagine that. You know, God telling you, I want you to go, you know, okay, go where? That way, you know, that was basically what Abraham got. And he said, okay, I'll do that. I'll go that way and go over there. And so that was all God sought to make known to him. And of course, God gave him a clear promise. But anyway, so God told him to go and he did. And verse number 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And you can see that promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, where God promised to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed the promised land, as we refer to it, okay? The land where Israel is located for the most part, even today. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, referring to Abraham here, looking for that city. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Beginning of verse 12 there, referring to Sarah and Abraham, as they both were past the age of typical children being born into a marriage. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Let's pause and pray. Father, we do look to you as we look into your word tonight. God, I thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone who is here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the great privilege and responsibility to declare your message tonight. Lord, I pray for your help. God, I know that I am completely incapable of doing the divine work that needs to be done in all of our hearts here tonight, according to your word. And so, Lord, I look to you for your strength to enable me and empower me to declare your message. And, Lord, that your word would be made alive through the quickening of your Holy Spirit within us as your people. And, Father, we just pray that you would meet with us in a special way here tonight and accomplish all that you want to do during this time as we look into your word and then as we pray. Lord, these are tremendous opportunities that you give to us. And Lord, help us not to overlook the great privilege that it is to be able to gather here freely tonight and to hear your word and pray together. We thank you for what you will do and for how you will meet with us even now, Lord. We commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to just focus in on the last few phrases that we looked at in this passage here. In the end of verse 13, it says, and confessed, or announced, you know, made declared with their mouth that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'd like us to think about that little phrase there, strangers and pilgrims. And of course, this is given to us here in the New Testament because we as God's people are still to be living by faith, right? That is one of the primary trademarks of God's people, living by faith. You know, we're living for the things that are not seen and known by the average person of this world. They don't realize what our purpose is in life. They don't understand the forgiveness of sins. They don't understand eternal life. They don't understand the reality of God himself living inside of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit. So many things they don't understand. They don't understand what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Or to, you know, like Psalm 1 says, to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. And then, as Joshua reminded us, you know, as you follow after God and his word, then you will achieve and, you know, be living out true success and true joy and purpose in life. The world around us is lost. They don't understand those things. And unfortunately, sometimes as Christians, we lose sight of those important things. And so here, God is reminding us in His Word that just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob really felt the reality of being strangers and pilgrims, we also, in this world in which we live in 2022, are to not lose focus on the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims. We are not citizens of this world. Our Father, we were born into this world as sinners with Satan, the devil, as our father. But the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is no longer your father. And you have a new heavenly Father, God Almighty, and His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Great privilege, great realities, wonderful truths. I love what Spurgeon says about this subject. He says, I am a pilgrim in the world, but at home in my God. Think about that. I am a pilgrim in the world, but at home in my God. In the earth I wander, but in God I dwell in a quiet habitation. What an incredible reality. And I remember reading a book about Hudson Taylor and him kind of pursuing his missions ministry. And all of a sudden he began to realize as he was, co-workers were leaving, were talking evil about him behind his back. He began to just get alone with God and cry out to God. And just the reality of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ came over him in a way like he had never really sensed before, because he just began to realize, I have to have God to enable me to fulfill what God wants me to do. Another quote Spurgeon says, may we live here like strangers and make the world not a house, but an inn in which we sup and lodge, expecting to be on our journey tomorrow. I love that thought. This world we live in, just look at it like an inn. It's not our house. This isn't our home. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get focused. Don't, you think of a totem pole. You use that phrase, we hear that phrase, the totem pole. You know, the top priorities are at the top of that totem pole. What's at the top there? For this world around us, making money is often one of the driving top priorities. And then relationships get pushed aside, marriages, children, all that secondary. That's why so many people don't even want to have children. It's because they get in the way of me attaining the top of my totem pole, making money. And so there's a lot of realities that play into this. But as God's people here tonight, let's look here for a few minutes into some truths, some lessons that we can learn from this passage, from the example of Abraham, about being a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth and accepting that reality, embracing that reality that that is who I am supposed to be. I love Ephesians chapter 2 especially, where it talks about basically our identity in Christ Jesus, that I shouldn't look at myself as just an American. Boy, I'm thankful to be an American. I'm sure many of us here tonight are very thankful for that. But that's not at the top of the totem pole of my identity. My identity of who I am is, and I don't always live according to this perfectly. None of us do, of course. But my top identity, my top priority ought to be the fact that I am a child of God. I'm a born-again believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and that is my top identity. And then everything else kind of falls in underneath that. But notice here, God called Abraham out into a foreign place. He didn't even know where he was going, but by faith, he went there and believed God that God was going, this is where God wanted him, and God was going to give him this promised land that God had promised to him. Notice, first of all, as we look at this passage tonight, a few reminders from Abraham's example for us as strangers and pilgrims. First of all, strangers and pilgrims follow God's plan even when it doesn't make total sense. Look at verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, by faith. Think about that. Okay, he didn't know. He hadn't God didn't open up a map and show him, okay, this is where I want you to go, and this is going to happen once you reach this point over here by the base of this mountain. This is what I'm going to do here. And, you know, he didn't map it all out for him. He just told him, go. So by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whither he went, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So here they are, out where God had called them to go. And there wasn't a big palace that was prepared there for them to dwell in, but they had tents. How many of you have lived in a tent for at least almost about a week? Let's see your hands. If you've lived in a tent for at least about a week. All right, hands down. How about 2 weeks? Any of you lived in a tent for close to 2 weeks? Okay, a couple of hands up still. All right, our army man here, of course. All right, you've probably lived months in a tent, haven't you? Okay, or years maybe? I mean, accumulatively maybe, but yeah, so that's an interesting situation to live in a tent. And we all kind of look at it as this fun little happy tenting experience we do once a year at Wildcat Mountain with our family camp. And, you know, it's kind of a fun little thing. But believe it or not, I actually talked to a pastor, a really good man, and his family that have been living in a tent. They've started a new church, and they've just run into some real challenges with housing, and they're actually literally living in a tent right now. And I couldn't believe that when I heard it. But bless their hearts. You know, they're not jumping ship. They're staying where God's called them. And they're getting a house built. And but anyways, they're living in a tent. I also remember, you know, really feeling the reality of being a stranger and a pilgrim. I guess it would be that first time we kind of moved over to Kenya. I think it was to be there for a year to fill in for Michael and Tina while they were on a furlough back in 2015. And I just remember thinking, you know, wow, a year. Here I am, you know, with my wife, and I think we had 4 kids at the time. And I just, you know, you're on those long transatlantic flights, and I don't know about you, but I have a hard time sleeping on those a lot of times, especially if there's not a whole row of seats to sprawl out in. And I just remember going across that, you know, and here it is just pitch black outside and trusting that this airplane is taking us safely over this huge mass of millions of miles of water and, or thousands of miles, I should say. Feels like millions of gallons, I guess. So, but anyways, and then we're gonna land somewhere over in Africa, you know, and live over there. And I just remember feeling, you know, a little bit of wonder, you know, like, wow, how is this gonna go? And are we gonna land in the right place? So you just kind of begin to think through a lot of things that you never really have thought through before. And, sure enough, we landed there. Everything went fine. But I just remember feeling that, and even every day as we live over there, often reminded, you know, there's very different sounds and experiences. You know, over here, grew up in a neighborhood with no wall around our property. But over there, you don't want to try to live in most places, especially around cities, without a wall around your property. And, you know, there's just a lot of different things that go on. And then every day, as we go out and about over there, I'm constantly hearing different tribal languages of Kenya and hearing people just speaking fluently in Swahili and then some English here and there. Thankfully, you know, as we communicate with people, they tend to respond in English, but keep praying for us as we seek to master that Swahili. We're going to try to take, you know, the first 6 months and really go intensively into that when we go back. But anyways, you just are constantly reminded, you know, by the bumpy dirt roads. I never, you know, we didn't grow up on bumpy dirt roads. My wife did a little bit out in Michigan there, some gravel roads out on the edge of Ann Arbor. But anyways, there's just things that constantly remind you that you're in a foreign country. And I'm often thinking of home, you know, in the States where I grew up, where I lived, you know, the majority of my life. And that just feels like home. You know, it feels like And I'm sure that'll change over the years little by little. But at the same time, the point is that we are often made aware of the fact that I am in a foreign land. And that's the way it ought to be for us here as believers. We need to remember this world is not our home. And I'm not saying that it's sinful if you're living in anything other than a tent here in the U.S., but we need to keep that mentality in mind. That, hey, as we go in this world around us, don't adapt the influences of the world. Don't adapt to those influences. Don't develop worldly thinking. Don't, you know, stay grounded in the Word of God. Be reading so that we can know what God is saying to us and how He wants us to be living by faith. Just as Abraham was called upon in very specific ways to live by faith. And he was made kind of a laughingstock, but in many ways. But anyways, strangers and pilgrims that are committed to that cause, remembering that they're strangers and pilgrims, follow God's plan even when it doesn't make total sense. And that's exactly what Abraham led his family to do with Isaac and Jacob. They went out and they went to that strange land. They dwelt in tents. Okay? And then God blessed him for his obedience. Notice secondly tonight that strangers and pilgrims are motivated by unseen realities. Strangers and pilgrims are motivated by unseen realities. Look at verse 10. So Abraham went out with his family, did what God said, by acted in faith, not really knowing where he was going, willing to live in a tent, and willing to just move as soon as God told him, I want you to move here now. Verse 10, here's one of the driving purpose really behind it all. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, of course, God created everything in this world, and that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about the world system that we live in, and the fact that Abraham wasn't looking to just establish a city, a palace, a physical material habitation. He wasn't looking to raise up a big, you know, city and army just to be able to go and conquer the world. But he was just following God. God wanted him to go and to be fruitful and multiply, and God promised, I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea, and God did that. But Abraham was just willing to keep his focus on that unseen reality, that city that he would one day get to, the city of God, as the psalmist calls it, where the crystal flowing river flows, where the presence of God is, where those who know Jesus Christ as Savior go when they pass into eternity from this life on earth. What a comfort that is to know. I remember when my dad passed away thinking, man, I'm really going to miss him. But boy, am I thankful that I know he is in heaven, that I know that I'm going to see him again someday. What a comfort that is. You know, we don't have to sorrow as those that know not the Lord. And we can have that confidence that there is that heavenly place that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. What a blessing that is. But we can't see that. You know, this world around us, they laugh at us. You know, I remember growing up in the neighborhood we grew up in, and, you know, we'd get some funny questions sometimes. The neighbor kids, you know, would love asking us questions. Are you guys Amish or something? You know, like, because we dress differently than most other people in the neighborhood. And we for a while, we didn't even have a TV in the house. And they couldn't believe that, you know, because they spend hours, especially in the summer, in front of that TV. You guys don't even have a TV, you know, and they would just, I remember specific times where they'd kind of surround us and ask these questions. But we had the biggest open yard in the neighborhood, or that area of the neighborhood. So they often would congregate in our yard, and a little basketball court back there, you know, it kind of attracted kids in the summer evenings. But, you know, I just remember they knew that there was something different about the Raines family in this neighborhood. You know, they're different. But we're not trying, our objective is not to be strange people, you know, like really making people wonder. That'll happen. You don't have to try to do that. But just live for God, you know, live on this earth as a citizen of heaven with the objectives that God wants you to be having at your workplace and in your everyday life, in your neighborhood and your with your family. Keep those objectives. Keep the priorities. Obviously, the New Testament makes a very high priority of the local church. That's the really the central living organism that we are all to be a part of as children of God, a vibrant New Testament church that's proclaiming the Word of God. But, you know, these are all, it's because of these unseen realities. Because we're citizens of heaven, because we're children of God, and this world around us, the only way they can see it is like the Gospel of Matthew says, "Let your light so shine." So shine. What is that referring to? So is referring to as a city that's on a hill and cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe this was mentioned last week, Wednesday night in the sermon. What a great reality. Man, that's a top priority for us as strangers and pilgrims. They are to see our good works, not for our glory, but that our Father in heaven completely would be glorified. Strangers and pilgrims are motivated by unseen realities, and we see that as Abraham looked for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that ought to be our priority. Thirdly, strangers and pilgrims must trust God for the supernatural. Look at verses 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Okay, in other words, too old to have a child, she had a child. All right, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And it's encouraging. We all know the story of how Sarah laughed. Her very first reaction was to laugh when those angels came and said she was going to have a baby, right? I say that's encouraging because how many of us just perfectly and flawlessly live by faith? None of us do, right? We all kind of hit roadblocks in our faith at times, don't we? Or speed bumps, maybe. You know, where it's like, ooh, wow, I should have just trusted God, should have just taken him at his word there. But she laughed, didn't she? But God is merciful, God is patient, and she ended up judging him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore, sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. What an incredible result of just simple faith, believing God would give them a child. Think of also how Abraham, you know, a great man of faith, he had some hiccups along the way too in his faith, didn't he? What did he do before Isaac was born? He tried going to his handmaid to have a baby, to kind of make God's promise come. Wow, God's messed up here a little bit. I better make this happen. And he went to Hagar, his handmaid, and had a child through her. And what a problem that caused and still causes in Israel today. And what an encouragement, what a challenge to us to remember, just take God at his word. Look to him to do the supernatural. I love the example of Peter in the New Testament, how God said, Jesus told him, come to me. And I remember hearing Dr. Jim give this, point out this specifically, and I'd never thought of it like this before, but Peter had to physically use his strength to get to the edge of the boat and step over the edge and onto the water. But it was completely God that enabled him to take even one step on top of that water, wasn't it? I mean, that was not natural, never has been, never will be on this earth natural to walk on water. All right, we kind of get close in the winters when it's ice and we can walk over the lakes, but or drive on them. I took my wife out once when we were engaged drove out onto the ice. She had never driven on the ice before. And I don't think we've done it since then either, because she just doesn't care for it at all. And it's not the wisest thing to do, but anyways, you know, living by faith, there's some risk, right? There's some adventure here and there. And we have to just trust God, though, to do the supernatural. We have to trust God to bring the increase, right? We water and seed as we plant as we obey God in witnessing and disciple making. But we're not the ones that make a person converted. We're not the ones that make a convert to grow in their discipleship following Jesus Christ. That is a divine work of God. We have a part in it. We have responsibility. But as we obey God, like Abraham obeyed, the Bible says, then God follows through on his promises. And that is just a wonderful principle all throughout Scripture. As a church, we have to trust God to provide financially. That's an act of faith. As a church, we have to take. We have to take those steps. I remember some real crossroads in the history of Mequonago Baptist. And you often hear Pastor reference some of those in his preaching. And a couple of weeks ago, Micah and I got to record Dr. Rick and Pastor sitting up here just kind of reminiscing about some of those things and got it onto video. And we need to record some more of that from other folks here that have been here through the years and seen God do some supernatural things. See God provide property. See God provide finances that, you know, humanly speaking, it wasn't in the budget of the average person in the pews. But God did it. And we can look back and see how God has done miracles. And we can see God supernaturally call people into the ministry. We can see God supernaturally help us reach the community and this world. You know, if God says go into all the world and preach the gospel, how? You can't explain humanly how that is going to be done. God has to do it. And we just have to stay committed to him, looking to him, believing him. We can limit him by our lack of belief, right? Remember that, taught in Scripture. Notice, last of all, that strangers and pilgrims must daily remember that they are pilgrims and strangers in this world. Look at verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them." In other words, they structured their everyday life upon these promises. God said this, I'm going to go do it. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay, they continued to acknowledge that as they felt the reality of it day after day. They confessed with their mouth, hey, yeah, we're strangers and pilgrims. I know this looks weird, what we're doing in these tents out here, but God has a purpose in it all. God has a plan, and we're just looking to Almighty God by faith. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Is your life declaring clearly to the world around you, your coworkers? Are you praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to share with every one of my coworkers that wonderful gift of salvation? Give me opportunities with my clients, with my neighbors. Lord, lead me. And see God provide. See God open doors. See God use you. And remember that reaching people that you see on a daily, weekly basis, don't plan to just preach at them every time you get a chance to interact with them. Okay? Keep that gospel message as a top priority. And Lord, whenever you open the door of conversation, Lord, I'm going to step through it and I'm going to share the gospel with them, because that is the top priority. But remember, God gives us other ways of showing the love of God to other people, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, and when they see that you really care about them, you know, you're concerned about the back problem that they're having, you're concerned about, you know, some challenge, and you're, you know, maybe you ask them next time you see them, hey, how is that going? You know, I've been praying about that challenge for you. Man, that can really open up their door to the gospel. Okay, so be looking for those opportunities and seeking God, but remembering that a stranger and pilgrim needs to be living out the reality of being a stranger and pilgrim in this world. As we close, I'm reminded of in Kenya, there's a road that we often drive on to get to the U.S. Embassy and some other places that's just loaded with ambassadors from different countries. And those ambassadors can't get confused about, they better not lose sight of what they're doing. You know, they might see millions of other people in that country participating in certain other everyday activities, but they can't join in with them. They're representing, you know, I've seen the Hungarian residents, I've seen the Canadian residents, the U.S. ambassadors' residents there on that road, Poland, all sorts of countries all over the world, Ireland. I've seen it there. They have to remember where they are from, who they are representing, why they are living in a foreign country, and what their purpose, what their objective is, or they're out of there. You know, they're going to lose their job. They have to be fulfilling the purpose for why they are there in that foreign country. And may that be a reminder to us. We are in a foreign country. Don't get too attached to this world. And when I say that, I mean keep the right priorities in this life. Keep God's priorities and confess, yes, I am a stranger and a pilgrim. I am seeking the kingdom of God. That is my motivation, my drive in life each day. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this passage. Thank you for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Lord, we know that these men had many failures, but yet, Lord, Abraham is known for, in spite of his failures, he is known by from your mouth, Lord, of being a man of faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people, Lord, that we would keep our focus, our ambitions, our satisfaction in life on earth upon you and upon your eternal plan. Lord, help us to reflect on even the last few days of our life here for a moment, Lord, and just ask ourselves honestly, have we been guided by living like a stranger and a pilgrim, or have we gotten quite comfortable? Are we thinking daily or even weekly about the fact that this world is not my home? Lord, help us to confess that. Help us to remind ourselves of that, Lord. And help us to seek to reach out to souls and to be of that daily, weekly, yearly focus on winning souls for Jesus Christ and living for that kingdom of God. Lord, your priorities, your plan for the local church, your plan for our lives as individual disciples of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to live by faith. God, you know how weak and feeble we are, Lord, and yet you're full of mercy and grace and power, Lord, to enable us to reach this world for Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, like Abraham, who was strategically placed geographically in a very specific part of the world to be a light to the heathen. Lord, help us to go out to the heathen and to be that light and represent Jesus Christ accurately as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, guide us, help us to make the steps we need to take to be more effectively reaching people for you and being the strangers and the pilgrims you have called us to be on this earth for this little vapor of a time. We commit it to you, Lord. Bless now as we go to prayer. May you be greatly glorified, Lord, and thank you for the great privilege of prayer. Lord, may much be accomplished through our prayer time tonight for your glory. And Lord, we believe all this through your power and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.